Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, the 9th of May, 2013. The Buckmaster Show is live. We're here weekdays, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's Intelligent Voice, and we're also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Of the three news talk stations in town, we have, very proud of the fact, we've got the most powerful reach covering most of Southern Arizona. We are live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you can hear our programs anytime, anywhere. We make it very easy for you. We podcast the show at buckmastershow.com. Also, tucsoncitizen.com has our program, as does tucsonsentinel.com, and we have prominent links on the home pages of blogforarizona.com and on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. That's gvnews.com. First up this afternoon, we have a jam-packed program for you. We're going to talk about the Visitors Bureau's effort to rebrand Tucson. Then we'll be joined in studio by Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, and the Buckmaster Show historian Ken Scoville will be with us talking about the upcoming Neon Miracle Mile event, which is actually tomorrow night. Then we'll close out the show with a preview of this weekend's Stamp Out Hunger food drive. This is really one of the big events of the year in our community to help the community food bank as letter carriers join with the food bank in helping to make sure no one goes hungry in this community. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to join us on the Buckmaster Show live line, which I am declaring officially open right now, 790-2040. Also, we'll be checking our Facebook page through the show, and if you have not checked out our page, please do so. It's Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Facebook friends. Now, let's join on the Buckmaster Show live line, Allison Cooper joining us, Vice President of Marketing for what is now called, or soon to be officially called, Visit Tucson, formerly known as the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. Allison, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you today, Bill?
Doing very well. Well, the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau will be rolling out the new name and marketing brand next month. And this new name is, I think, a really good one. Pretty obvious to shorten your long name right now to Visit Tucson. Do you like that name?
You know what? We're absolutely thrilled to be officially Visit Tucson on June 13th. You know, for a number of years, our website has been Visit Tucson. Our visitor's guide also leads with Visit Tucson, our social media platforms as well. So we've been out there utilizing it for quite some time, but this is a great way for people who live and work and play in Tucson, as well as our visitors out of market, to understand what we do and the value proposition that we bring to the table to drive economic development through tourism.
Yeah, and the other piece, of course, is the marketing brand. Why does Tucson need a new brand right now, Allison?
Well, I think it's one way that we can really invigorate our base. You know, the people, for us who live here and work here and play here, we know what is very special about Tucson, and I think we're very fiercely competitive and defensive about that. We know what's really special. Also, our visitors who have an opportunity to come to Tucson and see us and experience us, they really do fall in love with us. They see us differently from our competitive set. And what we've seen through research is if we can get them here, they come back over and over and over again. But as you know, Bill, you know, in the last few years, we went through some audits with our funders, the City of Tucson and Pima County, and we really believed, and Brent Durod, our president and CEO, that one of the best ways we could move forward is to to do some real in-depth research to define what is our most compelling brand idea. You know, we don't necessarily want to create something new. We want to be who we are because really, quite frankly, everyone else is taken. We just want to move those tourism indicators, you know, drive occupancy, bed tax, the average daily rate. We want to drive economic development for all of our partners, stakeholders, and community. And the best way that we can do that is through research. And that's what we've been involved in the last 6 months. And that's what's going to roll out our new brand that has the buy-in of stakeholders who live here, as well as it gauges visitors, you know, perceptions, as well as prospective visitors' perceptions of Tucson, so that we can have an ownable brand for the next 10 years.
Allison Cooper is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Our lead interview today, Allison, Vice President of Marketing at Visit Tucson. So the process of creating a new brand includes teaming with MMGY Global. They're based in Kansas City, and this is really what they, I guess, specialize in. Hi, Allison.
Yes, they are world-renowned. They work exclusively with destinations across the country and across the world. They also work in hospitality and entertainment. They had to participate in a real rigorous competitive process with a number of other agencies, some local, some in other cities across the country. So they had to win this, you know, book of business fair and square. We're really thrilled with the selection committee and choosing MMGY Global. Really believe we are working with the best. Certainly we've got really one chance to get this right, and they have been incredible partners for us.
And they actually have already done, well, they've done a lot of focus group, I guess, and also they included Tucson. They do a survey every year, and I guess they surveyed 2,500 active leisure travelers about what Tucson means to those travelers, and how did we score in that survey?
You know, actually, we did very, very well, given the fact that our budgets are so limited. You know, they're dwarfed, really, by the budgets within our competitive set. And what we were able to do when we negotiated this contract with MMGY is we wanted to make sure that Tucson had a subset analysis in the portrait of American travelers. And as you mentioned about this survey, it's done every single year. It's been in the market, I think, 24 to 26 years. It's the most in-depth of its kind because it only focuses on active American travelers. I mean, it's shocking to me to hear that only 50% of all Americans travel. The other 50% don't. So they only focus on actual travelers and digging down into what the travel habits and perceptions are, so that, you know, helps us. What we learned out of those 2,500, that 16%, which is about 400 people within that survey, have a very strong perception of Tucson and want to visit us in the next couple of years. And what's remarkable about what we're learning and gleaning from this research is we're not even talking to 50% of those people because we don't have the budgets upon which to do so. So we're so regionally targeted currently with our budget situation. We can't have a real strong national strategy because the dollars aren't there.
Well, I'm shocked. You say one out of two people do not travel. You're talking to a guy who's been to all 50 states and pushing now just a few countries short of 100. So that is just, it's just not possible that half of Americans just feel like they just do not want to leave home.
I know, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's shocking. But one thing that I absolutely love about this survey, when you've got a job like I have, you know, we really want to reach those people who are most likely to respond to our messaging out there. And this research is so critical. But yes, I think travel is one of the best things that we can do, you know, as a community. And it is shocking to me that there are 50, you know, percent of people out there aren't engaging in it on a regular basis.
Allison Cooper with us, Vice President of Visit Tucson. Tucson means different things to different people. My hometown of Chicago, one thing they found, I guess, in the survey was that Chicagoans really look to Tucson as the place to get away from the cold weather, while people in the Mile High City of Denver, they already have pretty nice weather, but they like to do outdoor activities, so they see Tucson in a different perspective. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And I was actually able to observe the focus groups in Denver. It was very insightful. What was most encouraging is that they had a real strong and accurate perception of Tucson's top attributes, and really see us as a more progressive city compared to the rest of the state, and that we have and we are a mecca for outdoor activity.
Did politics play a role at all?
The only thing that really came up, and it was much more positive for us overall, is that we are seen as a progressive city in our politics and not necessarily attached to the state. So we're seen as a very welcoming community, very laid back. We're not at all seen as pretentious. And, you know, one thing that we're looking at with MMGY, you know, not only are they doing the quantitative research, the qualitative research, but they're also looking at how our competitive set is marketing themselves as well out there. And that's going to be really key for us. And I think focusing in on outdoor and focusing in also on the fact that we are laid back, we are very welcoming. Here we are close to the border, and yet every day, you know, we have our visitors in Mexico crossing the border legally back and forth to really enjoy and experience our destination. When you look at Scottsdale, and we certainly consider them in our strongest among our competitive set, those participants in the focus groups and in the surveys saw Scottsdale as much more pretentious than we are. That there, if you want to visit Scottsdale, you got to put on the dog, but here you can really be yourself and come as you are.
Yeah, I could see how that could that perception could be there with Scottsdale and parts of our friends in the Valley of the Sun. History is so important, and coming up in our next segment, Allison, we'll be talking about the Miracle Mile event, kind of the neon event tomorrow. I think we really need, of course, to play up our heritage and preservation in this community.
Absolutely. You know, we have such a strong, vibrant sense of place. And, you know, we've got a very strong focus on geotourism and those really spectacular attributes that truly set us apart. It's the same thing in heritage and culture. You know, we really need to have federal designation of the Santa Cruz Valley as a national heritage area. It's very, very important. You know, heritage and cultural travelers spend significantly more in destinations, and we have those attributes upon which to sell. When you look at our competitive set, you know, the one destination that beats us, you know, hands down, is Santa Fe, and we're gonna work on developing that new brand identity so that we can gain some market share there. But, you know, we also have to look in those areas, like in the areas of outdoor, where we can really own that identity and put that positioning out there as well.
Okay, so we will know about the brand officially in mid-June. Is that what the plan is?
Yes, our brand rollout is going to be on Thursday, June 13th. It's going to be held at the J.W. Marriott Star Pass Resort and Spa. It's our annual meeting, so we'll officially become Visit Tucson. We'll roll out the brand. We'll have a new logo. We'll have a new position statement. We'll go over the brand architecture as what our essence is, what our brand values are, the messaging, the promise, the experience for the visitor. It's going to be very, very exciting. It's a breakfast. Registration is at 8 a.m. The program kicks off at 8:30 and goes until 10 o'clock.
Allison Cooper, thank you very much from Visit Tucson, and good luck with the new brand. We'll be talking with you soon, Allison.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Fireball, I like it.
Hey, Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rally. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:23 on this Thursday afternoon. We have a very Tucson-centered program on the show. We started off with Allison Cooper of Visit Tucson, soon to be Visit Tucson, changing the name of the Metropolitan Tourism and Visitors Bureau to Visit Tucson. Now we're going to be talking about an event that I think is certainly worthy of not only people who live in Tucson, but all of Southern Arizona, perhaps across the nation. It's really going to be a fun event. It is the ongoing revitalization of Tucson's Miracle Mile from North Fairview Avenue to the North Oracle Road intersection. Will be celebrated tomorrow. It's the 6th annual historic Miracle Mile open house and tour. This is a free event. It's a collaboration between the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation, Ward 3, City of Tucson, and business and organizations in the Oracle Miracle Mile area. With us in studio, Tucson City Councilwoman, speaking of Ward 3. She represents Ward 3. Karen Ulick is with us. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Bill.
And Ken Schofield. Ken, a regular to our program, one of more than two dozen contributors on a regular basis to the Buckmaster Show. And Ken is our specialist on Tucson and Southern Arizona history. How are you, Ken?
I'm fine, Bill. It's May. It's Historic Preservation Month.
There we go. Yeah. So we are right on the ball.
Right on the ball.
Okay. Ken, let's begin with you. What is the historical significance of the Miracle Mile?
Really quickly, it's a corridor like a lot of cities have, where people discovered and came into towns when they were much smaller by the automobile. And you see the evolution, the impact of automobile, just like if you look at the train station when people came in the railroad, or how airports developed by the plane. But people came in by cars, and obviously they needed a place to stay, and that's when all the motor courts got it started. And then you would see restaurants and other activities and attractions along the way. And for good or bad, it really was the start of strip malls, strip construction along the roadway, whether you were in Las Vegas on Las Vegas Boulevard or Miracle Mile in Tucson.
Well, when I came out here as a 17-year-old kid, Karen, from Chicago in the mid-60s to the U of A, I remember Miracle Mile and all the motels, and what I remember, the great neon signs.
Right, exactly. It's such an iconic area of the city, and as Ken points out, of many cities. And the key question is whether a city does well in preserving and really holding up those areas as assets, or, as we did in Tucson for quite some time, whether we allow it to fall in into total decay and blight. And so this is an important partnership that highlights the fact that we're investing and paying attention, and we have been since 2007, to this area, because it could have easily been lost. And had it not been for Ken and some other historians in town, we would have really been missing a great opportunity to celebrate Tucson's history.
And you've seen this evolution in your particular ward. What did it look like just a few years ago?
Oh, my gosh. I think many of us can remember. And think of the Ghost Ranch Lodge surrounded by chain link fencing and falling apart. Most of the motor courts and the neon signage, in fact, was in total disrepair and vacant and or blighted in one way or another. But if you think of it now with the Ghost Ranch, Monterey Court, the Wayward Winds, all of these historic properties being reinvested in and really brought back to life, all the way down to Main and Speedway. We've really seen College Place, La Siesta, the Quail Inn. If you drive that stretch, check it out, because it's a jewel. It's a real jewel in the city.
Karen Ulick is with us, Tucson City Councilwoman from Ward 3, the Miracle Mile area included in her ward, and historian Ken Schofield. Let's talk a little bit, Ken, about the event tomorrow night, which really, it's quite a lineup. I guess things get underway at 5:30, right?
At 5:30. Well, I like to think when we help and all get together and do these events, something for everybody. There's lectures and PowerPoint presentations about the history of the area and the evolution of neon and the importance of neon for getting people to stop and go to the motor courts and all those kinds of things. And then there's going to be a sort of official relighting of the sign at the Wayward Winds. And that's, again, celebrating the neon aspects of things. And then the big anchor really is at the Monterey Court, because people can see, and what we're going to talk about is the idea of adaptive reuse. Back in the early times of historic preservation, everything sort of became a museum. But now we really realize more, and I'd say in the last 20 years, you want to re-love those buildings. You want to use them again for something else so people can experience and be part of those buildings.
And that gets underway again at 5:30. There will be a lecture, U.S. 80 and Miracle Mile, by Damian Klinko. Damian, of course, heads up the Tucson Preservation. Man is Mr. Tucson Preservation. He's done a fabulous job.
And I'm just thrilled because he's bringing in a younger audience. So many people involved with preservation are under 40, and it's exciting for me.
And don't forget, I just want to remind folks, Ken, aren't you giving a flashlight tour?
I was going to talk about that.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, we can probably talk about that after the break.
Yeah,
but maybe we can work this quick caller in who didn't want to go on the air, Councilwoman, about the sign code. Does the sign code, has it been changed to allow for these neon signs, or are they grandfathered in?
It has been changed. In fact, we did a good piece of work together and adopted what is now seen as a national model for allowing for businesses to reinvest in those signs and allowing them to be kept in place, even though they don't comply with most sign code parameters. So we have done a great job, I think, in partnership with Ken and others.
And again, I want to credit Damien because he did a lot of legwork and a lot of time, I think 2 years, in getting the support that was necessary. And just imagine, it was amazing that there were people that did want to restore and spend their own money, but if they took the sign down to restore it, they couldn't put it back up.
Mm. All right, we're coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman, has agreed to stay around for another segment, and so has Ken Scoville. So we'll talk some more about, we're going to talk generally about preservation and what it means to this city, and more about the tour tomorrow night as the Buckmaster Show continues.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police in Cleveland say the two brothers of the man accused of keeping women captive in his house have now been released from custody. The two were arrested on Monday, along with 52-year-old Ariel Castro, is being held on $8 million bond. The brothers were not charged in the case. The Obama administration is lending its support to efforts in Congress to deal with sexual assaults in the military. A New York prosecutor calls it a massive 21st century bank heist. It was done by hackers. Prosecutors say the cyber crooks were able to steal $45 million in a matter of only hours. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is down about 16 points. The NASDAQ Composite Index up 2. The S&P 4 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 12:35 on this Thursday afternoon on AM 1030 KVOI. We are joined in studio. Ken Scoville is here. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on Tucson and Southern Arizona history, and Ward 3 Councilwoman Karen Ulick. And we are talking about the Miracle Mile, historical Miracle Mile open house and tour, which is tomorrow night. And it is in Councilwoman Ulick's ward, number 3. We're talking about really the changes in the evolution of this area and how businesses really have are taking such pride, Councilwoman, in that area.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are so many just beautiful and special, unique, as Allison was emphasizing in the Visit Tucson interview. You know, we have unique characteristics and places, and we want to preserve and hold those up. So there are countless examples. One just very recently was in the Old Pasqua Village, a house that was really falling down, and a Tucson police officer organized a cleanup. And from there, I think we all recognized it's a historic property that has tremendous value. I know that Ken could say more about it, but it has since been preserved back to a beautiful condition, and it's a property that deserved that. So historic landmarks, which I think we'll talk about moving on here.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Ken.
Well, I think the big picture, one of the things that we're trying to celebrate tomorrow night is preservation. You need that anchor start, like the Ghost Ranch Lodge or the other in the Pascual Yaqui. You need that to happen so other people have a different vision than just, well, we'll tear down and we'll speculate on the land. Because now it starts becoming the resources that you have on the property are becoming more valuable than just having the vacant lot.
Talk a little bit about the Ghost Ranch Lodge, which is kind of a centerpiece for the Miracle Mile, and talk about the Georgia O'Keeffe connection.
Okay, real quick, I used to, when I was trying to get support for Ghost Ranch Lodge, I used to say the Ghost Ranch Lodge was equivalent to the Fox Theater downtown, that the Ghost Ranch was the pivotal thing to save, and finally it's become an adaptive reuse as low-income housing. And the Georgia O'Keeffe connection really is Arthur Pack, who bought the property and expanded it, who founded the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. He, because of his ghost ranch that he had in New Mexico, he had a real long-term relationship with George O'Keeffe, and I guess he'd had some emotional issues, and I think he had a breakup or a lost failed marriage, and she tried to support him, and she designed that logo that he could use for his all kinds of promotional things like that. So that skull, cow skull that you see there is a George O'Keeffe related to their friendship.
And just to note, too, there's a garden there that Ken helped preserve.
Yeah, I was going to mention this.
Historic garden. Talk about that, Ken. It's amazing.
Well, at one time, they were only going to save the Joshler portion of the Ghost Ranch Lodge, the east portion. And like sometimes you have to do when you have a different vision, I did make a lot of friends, but I kept at it. And then we ended up saving not just the cactus garden, which originally probably would have been saved, but most of the buildings around it. So you got a sense of the transition between the earlier era and the later era when Mr. Pack, who was just starting the Desert Museum, started planting boojum trees at his motel and also out at the Desert Museum.
So, and this would be a very good time for those just joining us to talk about the tour, the open house and tour, and, of course, the Ghost Ranch Lodge and the historic garden, the cactus garden, will be part of the guided tour that begins tomorrow at 5:30. And this event, the Neon Mile 6th Annual Historic Miracle Mile Open House and Tour, it's a free event, and it goes till 10:30. And one of the at 6:15, there'll be a lecture about the Ghost Ranch sign itself, right?
Right, the sign and the impact of neon in the area.
And then there will be the Cactus Garden Tour. 7 o'clock will be the Wayward Winds Lodge neon light, the sign lighting. And then at 8 o'clock, Ken, you are up to the plate. You're the batter up, and you're going to take folks on a tour of Evergreen Cemetery, kind of a nighttime tour, so bring a flashlight.
Right. I thought it might be a little different experience for people. And again, I want to emphasize also Monterey Court is sort of the host not only for that event as a staging area for us to go to the cemetery, but they're going to have music and celebrating their first year anniversary of a wonderful adaptive reuse and a wonderful save for the area.
Music, entertainment will be there at Monterey Court.
And that court was in pretty sad shape, and I'm just amazed how they put it back. Well, the tour was we're going to cross the street, and thanks to the Tucson Police Department for giving us a good safe crossing over there. Everybody needs to bring a flashlight. We've got a few extras, but you really need a flashlight. And we're going to explore a little bit of history of cemeteries in Tucson, some of the famous people, and I'm going to try and tie it in, and I'm not going to tell you who, but we're going to tie it in with a lot of events that have been happening in Tucson the last 2 months.
That's Ken Scoville, our historian here on the Buckmaster Show, who will be very active tomorrow at the event, and Councilwoman Karen Ulick is with us as well, Ward 3 Councilwoman. What are we doing to really preserve more of our historic properties in this town?
You know, I think everybody plays an important part, and Ken and Damien and others really alert us to the threats that are being posed to critical assets in our community. And then people from across the community. I mentioned that the house that we spared in Old Pasco was really sort of discovered by a police officer who recognized that it was becoming a real blight. And so when we nominated that property for the Historic Preservation Award, we really applauded Officer Preston Hould, who alerted us to that. So paying attention to what we have and not losing it. And then in terms of local government, what we're doing, as Ken said about historic signs, you don't want your ordinances to prevent these things from being preserved. And I have another example. We have a property that it really ought to be a historic, well, I believe it is now a historic landmark or in the process, Valley of the Moon. The first thing that the city officials following the rule said is, you know, we got to bring this place up to code. Well, if you've ever been to some of these historic properties, the last thing you want to do is impose those kinds of rules because they obliterate the history and the significance and the real value in the property. So we are working on a historic landmark simplification and also just cleaning things up so that we can do better. It's on our June 5th agenda. So from our perspective, we have to remember, yes, times have changed, but the assets that remain need to be preserved.
Yeah, and as Ken, as we've talked about on this program, Tucson really in the late 60s made what many of us believe was city officials made a huge mistake by tearing down, one, the El Conquistador Hotel.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and I mean, everybody was excited at the time about El Con being this great new shopping center. I mean, but still, the hotel was really, really, from what I saw of it in the 60s, still.
Oh, there was nothing wrong with it. You could have done, even if you would have just kept the major lobby built around it and made that as the connection of the hub.
That's kind of the centerpiece.
But you have to realize, and being an historian and looking from the world and everything else, humans go in cycles. Mm-hmm. And we just, and sometimes things right in front of us we don't see. And you have to realize that we started the whole idea of a National Trust for Historic Preservation, the preservation movement, because of urban renewal. Mm-hmm. So our federal government was providing funds to tear things down at the same time we were trying to struggle to get monies to start celebrating and saving things.
And then our urban renewal in downtown Tucson,
oh, yeah.
My goodness.
Well, and I have to say the waves are so important because even now there's a highlighting of some of these cement structures like the old Tucson fire station downtown and the Access Tucson building, these real cement kind of blocky buildings. And a lot of people would say, ooh, that's ugly. But those also represent a certain era and are being reclaimed as significant.
Right. And see, the other thing is, and it's funny, that a lot of us, let's say that are not Karen, but those of us that are 50 plus or even 60 plus, the things that you remember of your lifetime, you really have that can't be a story. And so you have to be able to step back, just like Damien's been a wonderful advocate for the fountains at the TCC. So you have to step back and get an open mind about things.
Well, and it's economically, it's critical. It can drive economic development and save huge amounts. It costs a lot environmentally and economically to tear things down and build from the ground up.
The sustainability factor, and if we have time, I was at Death Valley National Park last week. They have a mid-century modern visitor center, and it was closed for a year while they did an adaptive reuse to make it environmentally sustainable, but the building is in perfect shape again.
All right, we're going to wrap this up here in the remaining minute or so. I want to go over again the details of the event tomorrow night. It is the Neon Mile, 6th Annual Historic Miracle Mile Open House and Tour, getting underway at 5:30, running till about 10:30. And kind of the gathering place you would suggest, Ken, Monterey
Court Studios. Well, it's sort of progressive. You could start, if you're interested in the lectures and the tour of the Cactus Garden, you could start at Ghost Ranch. If you just wanted to go to the sign lighting at the Wayward Winds. But the real hub of the activity and a big part of the celebration of adaptive reuse is at Monterey Court. And then if you're curious enough to go visit the cemetery at dark with your flashlight, I'll be leading a group across over there.
All right, and there is no charge. It's going to be a fun event. Karen Ulick, Tucson City Councilwoman, Ward 3, thank you
thank you very much. Thanks, Bill.
And Ken, it's good to see you again. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Bill.
All right, coming up next on the Buckmaster Show on this very Tucson-centered program, how you can help out our community food bank with the annual Stamp Out Hunger food campaign. This is the big signature event for the community food bank. Very important. Stay with us, please.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rebel. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
It's 12:20. Let's see, we're at 12:51 on the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. Well, for the 21st consecutive year, the National Association of Letter Carriers and the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona have teamed up to collect donations this Saturday. It's the annual Stamp Out Hunger food drive. This is a very big deal for our community. Joining me in studio, Bill Carnegie. Bill is here. He is the president and CEO of the Community Food Bank, and Dan Turrentine, the National Association of Letter Carriers food drive coordinator here in the Tucson area. Dan and Bill, how are you gentlemen today?
Doing wonderful, Bill. Thank you.
I'm great, Bill. It's nice to see you.
It's good to see both of you, gentlemen. I'm going to begin with Dan. Dan, how important is this to your colleagues in the Postal Service?
It's very important. This is it's exciting for us to be able to do this and give back to the community. This is the food bank. Everybody thinks of it as needing food around the holidays. And years ago, you know, we found out that, well, things during the summer were pretty rough on the food banks. So the timing, you know, it's always the second Saturday in May, is to get them through to the holidays till the other food drives kick in, when people think about feeding.
Yeah, people do, Bill Carnegie, think about the Community Food Bank for sure around the holidays, but how difficult is the summertime?
Oh, it's extremely difficult. As you can imagine, kids are home from school, so actually our demand goes up in the summer, and it's absolutely true that people really don't think about hunger during the summer months. So this food drive is just critically important to what we do and to get us through, like Dan said, until those food drives start in the fall, really when kids go back to school. So really important, easy for people to participate. And, you know, we've got all the resources behind the U.S. Postal Service and the local NALC folks. It's just The letter carriers do a tremendous job here in helping fight hunger all across the country.
Dan Turrentine, will our letter carriers, our postal carriers, provide a bag for the goods?
Yes, we will. As a matter of fact, Some stations started distributing the bags yesterday. By tomorrow, Friday, everybody should have a bag in their mailbox. Along with the, we also put out a reminder card. You know, we find that the more times that we connect with people, telling them about it, the greater chance that we have of getting a response.
And this will be this little card I have right in front of me, fill a bag, feed families. So this is the bag that we're hoping that people will put goods in. And what type of goods should they put in there, Bill Carnegie?
Well, we're really looking for non-perishable items. Certainly we always use peanut butter, cereal, canned fruits and vegetables. You know, we always ask for canned meats, but we know that those are expensive and people are having a difficult time right now. So really anything that you use in your own home will go to help local families in need. We do ask that people not donate things that are in glass or things that are perishable.
Had a caller who did not want to go on the air. The question is, how does the food bank collaborate with the food stamp program? Are they the same program, or is the food bank a stop gap for these people?
Well, the food bank is really an emergency services provider. We currently assist about 225,000 people a month. That really, it's people that are on a rotating basis that come to us. The food stamp program, or SNAP as it's now called federally, really is a more of a long-term solution to hunger. It gives people an EBT card where they can go to a store and shop for the things that they want. It's really, the programs complement one another, where we'll provide a 2 to 3 day supply of food to a local family. They really, with their benefits through the SNAP program, are able to stretch their dollars through the month, and it really helps them provide a more nutritious base of food for their family.
Had another caller who did not want to go on the air, but the question is, do you have to qualify for food bank assistance?
The only qualification is, or there's actually a couple of things, is that you do have to prove that you reside in the state of Arizona, and you have to ask for food. We try to remove all barriers.
Okay, getting back to Saturday's event, Stamp Out Hunger, the food drive. Now, how do the carriers feel about, they're going to fill up their postal vehicles with food? They don't mind, I guess.
We sure hope they fill them up.
Right? I mean, yeah, they're happy to fill it up, right?
We want them to have to make 2 and 3 trips back to the station to unload.
Where does it all go? To a center point, then, where you do all your sorting, Bill Carnegie?
Well, actually, we have volunteers that are going to be located at every postal facility in across southern Arizona. There's volunteers there. The food comes in with the letter carriers or volunteers, gets sorted right there on the docks into bins that then find their way to the community food bank.
And we want to remind our listeners again about the collection bags. And another question, can multi-housing units participate?
Definitely. Okay. You know, in the past, I myself have left bins out by the mailboxes at the apartment complexes. If there's not a bin there, you can still leave a bag of food out by the mailboxes, and we'll definitely collect it.
Okay, Dan Turrentine is with us. He is with the National Association of Letter Carriers. They've letter carriers teaming up with the food bank. This is the 21st year for this collaboration, which has been very successful. Bill Carnegie also with us. Bill is president and CEO of the Community Food Bank. Bill, we haven't talked about, here we are about 5 months into the year. How are we doing when you look at your numbers from, say, a year ago at this time?
Well, we had about a 7% increase in the number of people seeking food. So, you know, it still fluctuates every month. But, you know, some months we're up to 230,000 men, women, and children right here in southern Arizona that are relying on the food bank to at least get through a few days every month. Our contributions have been down the last few months, as has our food contribution. So, you know, that's another reason why this food drive is so critically important. And people can donate cash or they can donate food. So it's, you know, it's just, it would, We try to make this as easy as possible, and I believe that the food bank has a button up on its website, which is at communityfoodbank.org, where they can contribute online if they're going to be out of town or something like this. But we really need this to be a big success this year to help us get through the summer.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. And we will look for those Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive bags right by our mailbox today, or certainly on Friday and Saturday. Gentlemen, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill. And thank all your listeners.
If I may interject one moment, Bill mentioned
real quickly there, Dan,
the cash donations, mm-hmm. the food bank can buy nine times as much food per dollar as the average person.
Fantastic. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. I want to urge everyone to go over to Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Their big signature event is coming up. It's the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival. If you like the blues, this is the place to be. Memorial Day weekend, the 24th, 25th, and 26th of May. Plenty of very nice places to stay, including Wildwood Retreat in Hot Springs. The full list of accommodations and all of the details at southwestnewmexico.org. We thank Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, for being a big supporter of the Buckmaster Show. Also being a big supporter, all of our in-studio guests are provided with a bottle of Culligan water, and everybody's happy with the arrangement. Culligan water provides a very good drinking water. In fact, I love it. I call it great drinking water. What is it about Culligan? Well, folks, it simply tastes better. John C. Scott comes up from 3 to 5 this afternoon. Then it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe on the Friday show tomorrow. Our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, State Senator Steve Farley. We'll see you at 12:06 Friday.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.